Dallas Tatter is the CEO of Invitation Homes. The company's been around since 2012, and I thought I understood the model. They you know, represent a bunch of owners who want to rent their homes out, and it's like Ebbie Halliday or Century 21. Yeah, but the fact is they own these homes, 80,000 homes spread out all over the country, and single-family home rental is on the rise. And that's probably good news for Dallas Tatter, who joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Thanks, David. Thanks for having me.
I mean, really, the more I looked into your company, the more intrigued I became, because I saw you got the backing of Blackstone, which is a multi-billion dollar outfit who generally knows what they're doing.
Pretty smart guys.
So why? Tell me about this market. The single-family home rental market's always been around. But did this start out because houses were cheap and you got some money, went out and bought a bunch of houses?
Well, I think, you know, as you take a step back, 65% of the country is typically owned something. 35% of the country is typically rented some form of housing.
Yeah.
I think what you never had happen in single family prior to 2012 is you never had a group of capital come out and try to do single family rental in an institutional fashion, meaning 24-hour customer care, you know, all the amenities and bells and whistles.
Like you'd have it in an apartment house.
Exactly. So in the 80s and 90s, that's what happened with multifamily, right? You had all this big consolidation. You had professional management come into play. And so I think you had to have a moment in time. And unfortunately, you know, we went through quite a housing crisis from 2008 to 2012. And investors were seeing that, you know, the pricing had actually had gotten so dislocated that there was kind of a moment to come in and actually build a company with scale.
So, I mean, this strikes me. It's kind of like, you know, I've seen, you know, land speculators, you know, they'll temporarily put a, you know, football field or a McDonald's or something like that. And what they're really doing is holding the land, waiting for it to appreciate. Guy here used to put drive-in theaters on the land, waiting for it to appreciate. Then he would sell it and tear down the drive-in theater. In your case, you're speculating on the houses too, right?
Well, I wouldn't say we're speculating.
You're not married to the houses. You turn around and sell them if they go up.
One of the nice things about our business is that we can take homes and put them back into the end user market if we decide to sell for any type of decision. And we can also buy homes and put them into our rental pool, into our leasing pool. I think what's key for our business is there's a fundamental need for affordable housing in a lot of the markets we're in today. We're in 17 markets. We're in some of the highest growing Sunbelt markets. Really coastal and Sunbelt. We're from all the way from Seattle and Los Angeles to parts of the Southeast.
But like the Atlanta's Seattle market, I've seen, you know, Seattle pops up on the top of the list, it seems like on a monthly basis of the appreciation in price. The price keeps going up. It seems like it's going up faster than other areas, San Francisco, obviously.
Sure.
Too. But, I mean, at some point, when do you decide to sell, or when do you get priced out of this, out of the market?
Well, I think you think about it, you know, we're seeking really risk-adjusted total return. So we like to see, you know, our properties appreciate and be in markets where that type of thing is happening, like Seattle. But we also want to be in parts of markets where there's insulated demand for our products. So we're in it for the long game, generally speaking. We now, on occasion, we'll sell homes here and there to fine-tune our portfolio. But as you think about our business, it's about sustainability, scale, density. We can offer more services to the customer. And so for us, and I'll give you a good example, you know, our average market today is about 5,000 homes per market on average. With 5,000 homes, we can offer all types of things around amenities and services, things for our customer that you wouldn't be able to provide if you just owned four or five homes in a market.
So you can do marketing, you can have your own lawn maintenance people or people that go around and fix roads.
Smart home technology, exactly.
Oh, that too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Is anybody else doing this?
We have a couple of pretty big peers in the space as well. There's one or two that are publicly traded. Now, you mentioned Blackstone earlier. They were our partner when we were private.
Yeah.
And still a pretty big shareholder in the company. But we took the company public at the beginning of 2017. And since then, also did a merger with one of our peers, a company called Colony Starwood Home. And so that took us from about 50,000 to 80,000 units, which gave us, you know, enhanced abilities to operate our business better.
So are you... I mean, and you said you've got, you know, the right size of these markets now, but are you still looking for acquisition? Do you still do roll-ups?
Yeah, we're still looking for opportunities to grow. I mean, if you take a step back, you think about there's 16 million people that rent a single-family home today in the U.S. All of the institutionally owned or professionally managed companies, we maybe own 300,000 units, collectively.
Yeah.
So it's still less than 2.5% of the overall single family rental market. We're still very small. However, we had this opportunity, quite frankly, to build these businesses around some scale and some density in these markets. And I would expect these to be perpetual business, be around for a long time.
You know, I've seen some tide turning here and there. I mean, homeowners associations, for example, I would guess in many cases they may not like you.
It depends. I mean, every market's different. We joke about, you know, people's republics and things like that because it can be a little bit funny. But generally speaking, most HOAs have been really quite helpful. They like the fact, for example, that we have 24-hour eyes on our asset, right? Whereas you may have a homeowner in a particular market that doesn't take great care of his place. We're the opposite. We want a fit and finish and a feel in our neighborhoods and our homes that's consistent. But yeah, you certainly have to work with local HOAs and municipalities on occasion.
Yeah, I saw a ruling just the other day from, I want to say it was Santa Monica, but it was a city in California, that in essence was really going after Airbnb and VRBO. And they passed an ordinance said, you can't rent, and I guess in this case it was rooms, to anybody unless you also live there.
Hmm.
I mean, are there any kind of, I guess you can't prohibit somebody from renting their house out.
No, I think the short-term rental conundrum brings in more politics into it too, right? With hotels, hotel taxes, things like that tend to be parts of those arguments. I think for us, it's as simple as, you know, you got 110 million plus households in the U.S. 35% of them have always rented.
Right.
Why not have quality of choice? Why not have opportunities to lease in neighborhoods that maybe you otherwise couldn't afford? You know, in our markets right now, John Burns is I don't know if you follow Burns, but he's a housing economist. He talks about our markets, of 15 of our 17 markets for the Invitation Homes portfolio, it's much more cheap to lease a home than it is to own.
Well, so who is your market? What do they look like? What's the demographic?
So the average customer today in our portfolio is about in their late 30s, 38, 39 years of age. Typically a dual earner type of situation, combined household income of around 100,000. That's about our kind of our normal profile today of our average customer. And most of our customers are staying with us for on average right now about 3 years.
Do you ever move them out of homes? I mean, they have families and they need a bigger house.
Absolutely. Or? It's part of the process. I mean, people transition. So we'll have somebody start with us in a 2 or 3 bedroom home and say, hey, I need a little bit more square footage, or hey, I'm looking for a third car garage. And they'll work with their property manager to identify.
Do you have corporate partners? For people who, you know, companies move people around from city to city.
We haven't done much in the relocation. We've certainly worked with some veterans groups, absolutely, and certain military bases to provide options because they need housing optionality as well.
It's an interesting model. And like I say, I've learned a lot. It makes a lot of sense. So are you on the acquisition trail right now? Got anything to be talking about over the next 12 months?
Nothing outside of what we've, you know, publicly talked about. We think we'll invest somewhere between $300 and $500 million this year in buying homes. And we'll probably sell, you know, kind of a like-minded amount as we just kind of refine and adjust our portfolio. We've had a lot of luck, and actually not luck, but I'd say we designed a program that when we sell a home, we actually go to the resident first with that opportunity if they want to buy that home. So that's been a good process for us. That's called Resident First Look, which has been well received from our customer base today.
Yeah, I would imagine. Dallas Tatter is the CEO of Invitation Homes. It's good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
I'm David Johnson. News Radio 1080 KRLD.